My desire is that the Lord would meet with us again today. You know, we don't ever want to take for granted these opportunities to come together. What we really want it to be is a visit from God. We can come up with things on our own, but we need God's Spirit to be able to bring them to life to us. Last week, the topic that I had was contentment. And I'd like to continue with that this week, maybe part two of it. When we look at the definition of contentment, you know, I would like to say that contentment is, I finally got everything I wanted, and I don't want anything else, so I have reached the level of contentment. You know, contentment is the definition that I found for it. It's a rest or a quietness of mind in the present situation, the present condition. Things that are happening right now, no matter what they are, that I can have a contentment. And how can that be? How can it be possible? I was thinking of the verse last week in Hebrews 4, and in the 9th verse, it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." I believe that's talking about out in eternity there is a heaven for all of us, but I would like to think it doesn't have to wait till there. I believe there is a rest for the people of God today. Yes. No matter what's happening in our lives, how can that come to be? How is it possible? How can I have a peace in my present condition? What's happening today in my life? You know, that comes from a confidence, not just a head knowledge, but a confidence that God is in control of all things that come into my life. He has allowed what has just happened. And I can have a contentment that in this, a quietness of my mind in this present condition, that He is in control of it. You know, we have in the past, we've heard of sanctification and giving my will to God. You know, that's really where contentment comes from. Even when I have trouble, is it a one-time thing that I go to the Lord and I give Him my all? I yield my will to Him, and that takes care of it for life. It doesn't do it that way. There is a beginning where I do that, and I give my all to Him. But you know, tomorrow I'm going to have something else happen in my life that is going to destroy this contentment of a quietness in my present condition if I don't learn to yield my will to God's. The song that says, "Though my plans and my hopes," you know what, we have all got them. What I expect this next year to be in my life. "Though my plans and my hopes may seem blighted." You can lose contentment. But this one said, "I will love thee and I will trust in thee still. For I know, not just for the head knowledge, I know down in my heart all is well that thou doest. And my heart says amen to thy will." That's where we can have contentment. But I would like today to look at it in our everyday living. How can I have contentment? I like to think of contentment like a fuel gauge. When it's laid over all the way on full, everything in my life is going well, I am contented. What is the other end of the scale? If contentment is full, what is the warnings that are given to me that can destroy contentment? It's one of the Ten Commandments. It says that it can do it. Over in Exodus, I'd like for us to look at this for a little while this morning. What can destroy contentment? In Exodus 20, whenever we're given the Ten Commandments, it's the one that was the very last commandment. And usually when we read it, we just give a little piece of it. But in 20 and 17, it says, "Thou shalt not covet." And usually when we're saying the Ten Commandments, that's what we will give is four or five words right there. But you know, that verse continues on and it tells us the things that it's possible to covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What does it mean to covet? It's definitely the other end of the scale from contentment. I was looking at some definitions. To have an earnest desire for something. But then I looked at another definition, because you look at what was given here in the Ten Commandments, it went down to some specific things. Don't have an earnest desire for these things. Here is another definition: to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess by means which are unlawful to obtain. Now, you know, you can move from contented, full of contentment. You don't go into a desire for things that has all of a sudden got you drained. There is a gradual process that we can move through. Does covetous begin with people that have, they're willing to do anything to gain what they want? You know, we see so much crime today, and how much of that was done from covetousness. You think crimes where someone steals or takes something from someone else, a desire to obtain it. And it goes to a level where, when we look at the sin process over in James, because, you know, as this morning we can say, but that's a long ways from where I am. But I'd like for us to look at it. James 1 and 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So if we think about this word, thou shalt not covet, a desire to obtain something, it begins with a thought that is not checked and can continue to some levels that I'd like to look at. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So when we can realize, you know what, it begins with, my desires begin with a thought that is presented about something that I want. And you know what, this mentions unlawful things. There's a whole lot of lawful things that I can desire to have. And it's okay to desire to have things, but I need to watch when my contentment level is leaving the full mark. And it's moving to a place that's got me in distress. And how can I break the cycle of it? If it's happening, if it's beginning in my mind, then I'm going to have to go to some place where I have some tools to use. And I'd like to look over in 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and in the 4th verse. The weapons of our warfare, this is the warfare that we're talking about today, is the contentment that I can have in my life being destroyed by some other things, by some desires. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here's what I want to look at. Being able to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To be able to take thoughts, desires that I have, I want to be able to have this. And you know, I want to get to the place where I can pass that by God and say, you know, I'm headed out for eternity one of these days. With this thing, if I were able to attain it, it could be education, it could be a job opportunity, it could be any desire, and that desire starts out, there's nothing wrong with it. But you know, it'd be real important for me to pass those thoughts by God and ask him, you can see tomorrow, I've got this desire to head in this direction, but would you check me? Would you block this if you see it as not best? Remember Brother Marty's message recently? I was listening to it. God knows the language of my thoughts. You know, sometimes I can think my thoughts are just my thoughts. Nobody else knows what's going on in my head. It's my thoughts, and what I need to be careful about is expressing those thoughts, because that's when people say, well, you got something wrong with you. But to keep, you know, we can have thoughts about what others are doing or whatever. But if I could recognize, we see it all through the New Testament. Jesus perceived their thoughts. You know what he still does today with all of us? He does with the things that I can start to desire in my life. I would like to have this. It could be temporal things, there's nothing wrong with it. But I want God to be able to guide me. There's a little prayer in Psalms 19 and 14, my desire. Let the words of my mouth, yes. I want that to be guided. I want that to be acceptable to the Lord, but you know that wasn't all of it. I want the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the things that I think about that will head me in a direction, I want those to be acceptable in your sight. So if we start looking at contentment, what would bring me contentment in life? Let's say if I would like to start buying some property, and I buy me a little piece of property, and I would like to get more. Where would you go first to get more property? You'd really like for it to join what you have. I've heard this saying before, I really don't want to buy everything. I don't want to buy all the property. I only want what joins mine. Well, you know what? That can, if we have anything that is called covet, it can move from this one, just join mine. I just finished the closing on it. But you know what? Now there's another piece that joins mine that we could go to. So I would like to look at a story this morning. And that story, we could say, boy, that's just a long ways out. But we can see this process start in this man's mind. I want to look at 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, in the first verse. It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. You know, if you had been able to have a vineyard next to a palace, you know it's important to have neighbors that keep their property up real well. It'll cause your value to be up. Well, if you can own some land next to the palace, that palace is going to be kept up very well. Well, Naboth had a vineyard right next to it. But there also came another problem. Second verse, Ahab spake to him. You know what? Ahab wants more property. And what he'd like to have is what joins his, and Naboth owns it. Is it wrong to go to your neighbor and ask him, said, you know, I'm interested in buying your land. Is it for sale? Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Nuh-uh. I have had, maybe you have too. I've had times where I'm traveling a road, the same road many days, and I'll see a vehicle or something sitting out in a field, and this pickup truck or something. And you know, maybe he would like to sell that truck. It's not moved for months now. Maybe he would like to sell it. You know what? There's nothing wrong with you stopping and going up to him and say, would you like to sell that truck? I tell you, I'll give you this much money for it. It's what happens next is the critical part of a desire that I have. Here, it was nothing wrong with Ahab to come to Naboth. And he says this, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near to my house, and I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Nothing wrong yet. I'll pay you whatever it's worth. I would like to buy this property from you. But it's what happens next that is critical. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. In other words, Naboth says, this land is not for sale at any price. It's been an inheritance passed down to us. You know, there was probably a time, if King Ahab was the one that built that palace, there was probably a time when it was finished that he was 100% contented with what he had. You know, we can be contented with things we have until we start seeing something else. That's what I would like for us to be realizing today. The things that can destroy my contentment. Because no longer is Ahab contented. He's not contented with stopping, when someone says it's not for sale. Remember, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, in this, we realize his continued to a place that Naboth was put to death, and he took the property. Well, you know, we would say, oh, I'll never desire something enough to do that. But what I'm interested in is, really, that's coveting is not the topic so much today. Contentment is the topic. But, you know, we almost have to work through covetousness to find out what destroys my contentment. For us in our life, there was a place where a man came to Jesus. It's over in Luke 12. He's wanting him to settle up some temporal things. Luke 12 and 13. One of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. You know, that sounds like a fair thing. And Jesus said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he gives a little warning in the 15th verse. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And I looked at the commentary for that. It said, don't be anxious about obtaining wealth, for however much you may obtain, it will not prolong your life. It says that depends on the will of God, and it requires something besides wealth to make us ready to meet him. You know, for us to realize what is valuable about contentment, I'd like to look at a verse over in Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and the 5th verse. Let your conduct be without covetousness. And you know, we will need the Lord to be able to check and take inventory. Remember, the verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I'll need the Lord to check me to see if my conduct has any covetousness in it. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, one of the tests that we need, and we're going to need the Lord to be able to help us with our desires. One of the prayers, one of the tests that I think is very valuable for us is Psalms 139 and 23. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Want to be able to do that. And I want to be able to have a contentment. There's another word that goes with contentment, and that is satisfied. And it's looking at the definition of it, contained within limits and contented with those limits. Having a mind that is at peace. You know, there is something that will give us a contentment in our life when things around us can all be falling apart. When temporal things don't seem to be where they should be. And I would like to look at a song. It is song number 97, Satisfied. You know, satisfied and contentment go hand in hand. And this verse, first verse of song 97, all this world, its wealth and honor, cannot satisfy the human breast. But when filled with God the Father, every want is fully blessed. My soul is satisfied. We can be in a place, and that is one of the benefits of salvation, that I can have a satisfaction in what's happening in my life today. Now, does it mean, where's the balance with all this? Does it mean that if I lose my job tomorrow, I've got a recliner in my living room that is so comfortable. Should I sit in that recliner and just rear it back and say, I am contented where I am in life? No, you know what? There's a place for me to do some things about it. But there is a balance from contentment and covetousness that we want to be able to understand about. There's a couple verses. One is in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And in the 6th verse, godliness, would we say godliness with money is great gain? You know, some people say money itself leaves godliness out. Money will be great gain. This one says godliness with contentment is great gain. If you can put the two together, godliness and the ability to be contented in the condition that I am today. Now, does that mean I do not ask God to improve my condition? It's about a matter of my heart and my mind. God, you're in control of it where it is today. Remember, when we take prayer requests, why do we start with, do we have thanksgiving? Because we have a verse that says, before you do your request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So part of this contentment is, Lord, I want to thank you for the things that you have provided for me. Lord, I have some requests. I have some needs I feel like that I would like to have from you. But it doesn't cause me to lose the contentment that I've been able to reach from God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, this is something for us to remember. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. So all of the material things that I work with through this life, I will leave them behind. And then it says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. The necessary things in life that God sends my way, let me have a contentment in my life with those. And part of that contentment is for me to realize God's in control of all things at all times. There's a couple verses that will help me with that control that he has, and my knowledge of it is in Psalms the 46th chapter. And some of these verses, for me to have contentment when things don't seem to be going well, I need to have them fresh in my memory. Like the children that gave their verses this morning, that they would have those fresh to be able to pull them up again. Psalms 46 and 1 is one that we need to remember. Here's what I can have contentment no matter what's happening, because God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. I'm going to go to God when I have my troubles. He's able to help me with them. Then over in Psalms 121 is another that I want to add to that. Psalms 121 and 1. Here's what I'm going to do when I need something else. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. So I think of a verse over in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. It tells me, if you then be risen with Christ, in the first verse, seek those things which are above. You know, it's really important for me to see the value of heavenly things. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set my affections more, be contented more with the spiritual blessings that God will give me. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. There was a song that we have sung before. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face, and something will happen. Now, it's more than just getting a glimpse as I'm moving to some other temporal things that I want to do. This is realizing the value of seeing Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So for us to have my desires in the right place, I need to be able to be balanced. And there is a scripture in Proverbs 30 that I think is important for us. Proverbs 30 and 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. If you had two things that you're wanting to ask the Lord for, what would they be? Here's what he asks. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, here's my desire. Lord, I would like for you to feed me with food convenient for me. Because here's the danger. lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. You remember, we see it over in Deuteronomy, when the Lord is God's warning the children of Israel, you're fitting to go into a land, it's going to have vineyards, it's going to have houses that you didn't have to build. You just move in and you've got them. And there's a great big danger for it. Now you would think it would just be contentment and thanksgiving to God for what he did. But he said, when you have eaten and art full, you need to be real careful to bless the Lord your God. Thank him for what he has given. Because the danger is that real quick I'll be seeing that every day. And I'll start saying, look what my hands and the power of my might has been able to do for me. But to realize, you know what? It's the Lord that gives us the strength. It told it there. It's the Lord that gives you the strength to be able to get wealth. So I need to go back to him every day. The things that he has given me, I thank him for those. Don't set my heart on temporal things. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Because you know what? As I do that more, I will find that temporal contentment comes easier. There's a verse of a song. It's number 300. I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. I'd like to stay right here. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. You know, satisfied is a valuable thing. In 2020, when the world around us is reaching out for so much and still not satisfied, that I would be able to find satisfaction. I've tasted life's pure river. My soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures. You want to lose contentment? Let that thirsting start going after the world, and contentment will be gone. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And Psalms 107, a promise. There are a lot of promises in the Bible. We want to be able to recognize those. Here's one of them. 107 and 8 through 9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He is able, when I have desires, and my desires are in the right place, he is able to satisfy the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We sing a song, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I find he's all I need. He healed me soul and body, and he makes me whole indeed. He gives me food and raiment, yes, all I eat and wear. He beareth all my burdens, my sorrows, and my cares. I'm satisfied with Jesus, whatever he may do. You know, does it say I'm going to understand everything he does? No, it says I'm satisfied with those things the way he does them. I'm satisfied with Jesus, whatever he may do. And this same satisfaction is waiting now for you. I'm satisfied with Jesus wherever I may be. And while I now obey him, he can be satisfied with me. You know what? He can be contented with how I am being contented. And I desire to be able to have that. I would like for us to close with another song, because satisfied in my soul is going to help me be more contented in temporal places. I would like for us to close with a song, number 77. It's one of the verses, the last verse. Salvation, it's richer far than gold, than glittering gems that turn to mold. Its wealth, salvation's wealth, no language ever has told. It satisfies my soul. You know what? As I start longing, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. When I start feeling that tug, help me to go back and see how valuable salvation is. Let the value of it increase in my mind. Salvation richer far than gold, than glittering gems that turn to mold. It's wealth. You know what? When other things have gone away, I believe Job was able to have it in a balanced place. He was a wealthy man, but you know what? He didn't have his heart set on it. I believe the future could possibly hold for us to be able to recognize where my heart is. If things could happen that cause me to lose the money that I save up, it can happen through a lawsuit. It can happen through so many things today. Can I start back from zero again and say the Lord has been with me in the past and he can also help me in the future? You know, Job went from having a lot of things to having nothing. And yet I believe there was a contentment. Did it mean he loved having the things happen to him? I don't think so. But he said the Lord gave it and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satisfied with God's dealings in the way he was dealing with him. I want to have that same satisfaction. It's waiting for us all. Maybe we can stand and sing that number 77.